Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We are continuing with our subject of aetiology. Today is part 9. So if you haven't heard the first 8 parts, you have to go to Facebook and listen. Very soon we are starting with a YouTube channel, then it's much easier. Our Bible text is from Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 13. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
The relation of holy angels with the incarnate Son of God is an important New Testament revelation. The earth life of Jesus was seen by angels. It says that in 1 Timothy 3:16. When Jesus was born, angels announced his birth and sang the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which is in English, "Glory be to God on high." Yet the heavenly hosts did not understand the wonder and the mystery of this amazing event. In 1 Peter 1:10-12, it says, "Angels were represented as anxiously watching from heaven with deep desire to understand the secret of the so great salvation through the humiliation and suffering of the Lord of glory. Their constant attendance on the Lord is revealed from the annunciation of John the Baptist through his earth life, through his death, resurrection, and ascension. Zechariah the prophet was the last one in the Old Testament who we read of who was speaking with angels. And Zechariah the priest was the first one in the New Testament. While he was fulfilling his duty in the temple, suddenly an angel appeared. Zacharias was shocked and he was afraid. There was a mighty angel coming directly from the presence of God. He said to Zacharias, "Fear not." The heavenly visitor introduced himself by the name of Gabriel. He said, "I am Gabriel." He told the old priest that he would have a son and gave him a revelation of his son's life and told him how he has to raise him up. Zacharias was doubting. He was doubting. "How can I have a son in my old age? My wife is not able to have children also." His doubt cost him his voice. For 9 months, he was not able to talk. Never doubt when God gives you a message or something that you should believe or something that you should do. 6 months later, Gabriel was on mission again. This time he came to young Mary and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary was an extraordinary person. The Bible doesn't say that she was afraid when the angel came, but she was afraid of what he was saying. In Luke 1:28-38, it says, And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29. But when he saw him, he was troubled at his saying, and considered that what manner of greeting this was. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. How could I have a son? She was not married. And that time where she was living, it was a shame to have to be pregnant without being married. Mary wondered how this could be. It's a mystery. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God has manifested in the flesh." Indeed, it was a mystery. A mystery. It was an annunciation that the great work of salvation would be done, which had been purposed before the creation of the world. He would confirm the first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15, where it says, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head." It was now to be gloriously and eternally accomplished. Gabriel, the messenger, always came with great messages. And to all this mystery, Mary simply said, "Let it be done to me according to your word." What a humble response to the most wonderful announcement. Joseph, to whom Mary was engaged, wondered about the turn of events. Discovering Mary, his fiancée, to be with child was not acceptable to him. Besides to be pregnant, but not by the fiancée, according to the law, would mean death penalty by being stoned. This was a struggle between love and bewilderment in his mind and in his heart. He decided to put her away secretly. As he thought about this, an angel appeared to him. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Here, God is speaking, or the angel is speaking, as being his wife. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. People might talk against you. People might mock you. People might ridicule you. But you do not be afraid. And the ministering angel, Gabriel, came with comforting words. All of Joseph's fears disappeared at the words of Gabriel. The time was politically very difficult. King Herod was an evil man. The Roman occupation caused continuous problems. For the purpose, all people had to come to their hometown to be counted so that the emperor could get the right tax. Bethlehem was overcrowded and Mary was about to give birth. Joseph tried his best that he could to find a place for them, but the only thing he found was in a cave. There was no cradle. There was no cradle. Yeah, there was no cradle, only an open box to hold the fodder for the livestock. Jesus was born in absolute poverty. But that didn't stop the angels to appear and to announce his birth. As Jesus was born in a stable, so was his birth not announced in a palace, but through angels to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Even though angels couldn't understand the full meaning of Jesus' coming, yet they worship God. In Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill for men." Politically, or the politicians, they didn't care, for greater glory came when Jesus was born. In a few verses, Matthew is describing the flight into Egypt. King Herod got the news that a new king was born. And he was afraid that his throne, his kingdom, would be taken away. So in great rage, he directed that all baby boys of the age of two or younger would be killed. But actually behind this act was the devil, who tried to kill the baby Jesus so that he could not die for the world. And he used King Herod to do the act. Praise the Lord. But you know, neither the king nor Satan thought that God has a way for protection. They didn't think. They thought they can do whatever they want. They didn't count with that power of God of protection. An angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and directed him to go to Egypt. Joseph was an obedient man. When he got the news that his fiancée was pregnant, an angel appeared to him and told him not to be afraid. He obeyed and married her. Now an angel told him to leave to Egypt, and in the morning when he woke up, he left with his family. No question, he just obeyed without questioning his dreams or angels. Unquestioning obedience becomes the way of life to those who have learned by faith and experience the true meaning of a Christian life. Unquestioning obedience. After 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, Jesus was hungry. The devil appeared and tempted him in his physical weakness. That's usually when the devil tempts us, when we are physically weak or tired. After Satan realized his utter failure and defeat, he was compelled to leave until an opportune time. Jesus was victorious while staying in the realm of human resources. As the Son of God, he could have done and told the stones be bread and it would have happened. But he stayed in the human realm. He conquered the temptations with the Word of God. Matthew 4:11, it says, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Legions of angels were always standing by. He could have done his work of redemption without them, but he is pleased to honor their faithful ministry. Every believer who is going through times of trouble is attended by angels. God sends his ministering agents to help us, to strengthen us, and to direct us. Knowing his betrayal and death were close at hand, Jesus took his disciples to the garden in Gethsemane to pray. Matthew 26:38, it says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch for me.'" And that was the prayer that Jesus gave to his best friends, to his disciples. He asked them to watch with him, but they fell asleep. How many times is this happening in our lives? Instead of prayer, we fall asleep. And that is why we get weak. Luke describes the prayer of Jesus in this way, in chapter 22:44. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground." So overwhelming was the shadow of spiritual death, the penalty for sin. Separation from God, separation from the light of God, separation from the love of God, of the life of God. The sweat became like drops of blood. Knowing that the hour had come when he must enter into that realm of outer darkness, there taste death for every man. The agony of soul was beyond human endurance. God sent an angel from heaven to strengthen him. Legions of angels could have delivered him from later suffering, but then his earthly ministry would have been defeated. In the ministry of an angel and the Holy Spirit, he was strengthened. Angels attended the birth of Jesus. Angels attended him when he was in temptation in the wilderness, and they ministered to him. In the agony of the garden, an angel came to strengthen him. But at the cross, he was abandoned, forsaken by the Father. He hung there, being with a full weight of sin. In the Father's will and the Savior's obedience unto death, holy angels must withhold their ever-ready ministry. With man's redemption gloriously and completely accomplished, for in this vicarious death and resurrection, we read in Romans 4:25, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now in the resurrection, Jesus resumed the same glory that he had from the beginning. Angels joyfully resumed their attendance upon him, whose unveiled glory they had known since they were created. An angel from heaven came, rolled away the stone from the tomb. Our Lord, in his resurrection power, he could have rolled away the stone himself. He could have come forth in the glorified body that he had, because he went through doors that were locked. But to prove that divine justice was completely satisfied, he did not break prison. He was a legal discharged, approved, and obtained from heaven. A legal judge, a written paper that says you are discharged, you're approved, and he came from heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. When the mourning women came to the grave, it was an angel who announced his resurrection. And so did the two angels who were sitting in the tomb when the disciples came. After the cloud had received the ascending Savior from their sight, they started into heaven, not fully understanding what was happening. And then we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as he saw him go into heaven. The angels were assuring the promise at once. The angels assuring promise at once became the blessed hope of all believers. We know that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back earlier than what anybody thinks, very soon. The promise of a literal, visible, personal return of the glorified Jesus is at hand. He himself said in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. With angels, what angels saw during the earth life of Jesus was new to them. They knew Jesus in his deity in heaven. The earthward life of Jesus was new to them. We will see in our next study that angel ministry is not finished. His angels are ministering spirits to them that believe. Only 3 weeks ago, we had angels attending our service here. We could feel their presence. We could hear their sound, but we couldn't see them. We all both turned to see if anybody had come in, but there was nobody. The angels were here. So angels are a reality and they minister to us. Glory be to God for creating them and sending them to direct us, to protect us, to comfort us, and bless us. Amen.